Welcome to Searchlight, a survey through Scripture with Pastor John Corson. It is our desire to bring you a systematic study of the entire Bible, chapter by chapter, book by book. Over the last few Searchlight programs, we have been looking at two kings of Israel, Saul and David. The contrast between the two is startling. David is a man after God's heart, while Saul shows all the danger of following your flesh. In our current study in 1 Samuel 18, we are seeing another contrast. This time it is between Saul and his son Jonathan. Saul is feeling threatened by David, but Jonathan is giving himself totally to David. As we pick up the story now, we see Saul getting angry and jealous because the people are praising the works of David more than the works of Saul. Here now is Pastor John.
And the women sang one to another, sang back and forth to each other. And they said, Saul hath slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. Uh-oh, watch out. The thing displeased him greatly. He said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what more can he have than the kingdom? My goodness, they're singing songs about him. Pretty soon he's going to take over the kingdom. Saul, see, whereas Jonathan dethroned himself, Saul is determined to defend his turf. And Saul is going to be a miserable monarch. He's going to be despairing and depressed and demonized to an even greater degree. They sang songs about David. Saul, verse 9, eyed David from that day forward. And it came to pass the next day that the evil spirit from God, the evil demon spirit that was allowed to function in this way, came upon Saul. And he prophesied in the midst of the house, which shows you, parenthetically, that John was right in 1 John 4 when he said, test the spirits. When prophecy is being uttered, words are being shared, hey, just because it's from a person who prophesied in the spirit previously, as Saul did in chapter 10, now he's prophesying, but it's not of the Holy Spirit. He's being inspired by an evil spirit. That's why we're to test the spirits. That's why when we have times of ministry one to another, there's to be discernment. There's to be a testing, an observing. Is what's being said matching up with what the Word of God declares? Test the spirits, John says. So now here we see Saul. The same guy that before was prophesying in the spirit, now he's actually an instrument of the devil. And here he is. This evil spirit comes upon Saul. He prophesies in the midst of the house. And David played with his hand, the harp, as with other times. And there was a javelin in Saul's hand. And Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I will smite David to the wall with it. And David avoided out of his presence twice. Two times this happened. Here's the reality. On the morrow, right after this event where some are singing his praises, Saul is there chucking spears. I have discovered over the years that God is incredibly faithful to keep his people humble. Amen. That he really, truly will balance things out. He'll encourage me and encourage you when encouragement is needed. And then he'll allow a spear to come our way. Somebody to nail us, if you would, or try to anyway. And it's all part of the process. It's important. It's important that I realize, Lord, you've allowed this spear to be thrown in my direction. Lord, help me to duck. But Lord, you've allowed this to happen. Maybe because the day before, maybe there was a song about me, so to speak. And now it's important today that a spear is launched in my direction. I need that, Lord. You know what I need. And I'll tell you this, the Lord is incredibly faithful to encourage you and encourage me when that is needed, but also, man, when our bubble needs to be popped or we need to be taken down a notch or two, hey, there'll be a spear coming your way, I guarantee. And you learn to say, that's okay. I can recall, you know, when I was going back to greet the people, South Valley Chapel, before I came to Applegate, we started a church in San Jose called South Valley Chapel. And I gave a Bible study that I was really, really just thrilled with and excited about as I was sharing it. And when I was done, I was greeting the folks. It was from the 17th chapter of Matthew's gospel. And the story is about where Jesus was transfigured on Mount Hermon, on a high mountain. And I gave this message about, here's Jesus, and with him on the mountain, I was talking about as a key part of the message was the prophet Elijah and Father Abraham. And I went on this whole thing about the father of faith, Abraham, there on the mountain, previously, you know, on Mount Moriah, and I had this whole tie-in thing and all the rest, and I thought it was a great study. I thought it was just great. And when I was done greeting the people, a friend of mine came and says, John, I'm missing something, he said, as he looked at his Bible. He says, now, my version says that it was Moses, not Abraham. I said, let me see that. I wanted to die 1,000 deaths. Because the problem was, this guy, a good friend and a one that just really wanted to learn the word, he had made all these notes in his Bible during my sermon in ink, you know, about Abraham being on the Mount of Transfiguration. It wasn't Abraham. I can remember up at the Western Auto, I was giving a message and I felt really good about that one. And I went to the back and I thought, boy, this is going to be great. I know people are blessed. It's going to be great. And just to hear what the Lord is doing, I got to be a part of that and all the rest. And so sure enough, first guy in line, one of my elders came to me and says, John, the entire time you were preaching and standing there, your zipper was down totally. I thought everybody was quiet because they were very attentive and listening, you know. They were just embarrassed and thought, what kind of an idiot is this up there? But the Lord is faithful. He is so faithful to pop our bubbles, to take us down. And it's an interesting world that we live in, because sometimes you hear songs being sung. Other times there's spears thrown at your head. And it's all part of the process. And you might say, well, you know, I don't hear a lot of songs being sung about me, so to speak, you might say. Be thankful. Because the more songs are sung about you, the more spears are going to be chucked your way. That's just the way it works. And that's okay. It all comes out in the wash. You live in this world, you know. You just do. All of us do in our own arenas. That's part of what it is for the Lord to say, I want you to be encouraged, but I don't want you to become proud, or I don't want you to become self-confident. So he will allow Sauls to come into our life and throw a spear at our head. And you can feel the spear just whiz by, or you can feel the right next to your skull, you know, whether it's people's comments or whether it's an awareness of your own inadequacy or whether it's a spiritual thing that the enemy is launching or mounting against you. It's real. You know this to be true. Here, David had this great victory and his name was being sung by thousands of people there. But yet, the next day, a spear was hurled his way. Now, watch this. It says here, Saul cast the javelin. He said, I will smite David to the wall with it. Two times this happened. David here was innocently, verse 10 tells you and me, playing his harp. Notice David played with his hand. There was a javelin in Saul's hand. In one hand, David's hand, there was an instrument of worship, the harp. In the other hand, Saul's hand was an instrument of war. In David's hand was an instrument of healing. The harp was played to cause a soothing of Saul's troubled soul. So there's an instrument of healing in David's hand. In Saul's hand, there's an instrument of hurting, a javelin. Question tonight for you, for me, for us is, what right now is in our hand? What's in our hand, honestly? Worship or war? Healing or hurting? Because see, that will really determine who I am, who you are, in the roles of our own ministries, in service, family life, mothering, whatever it might be. Saul here and David, they're both leaders. They've both been anointed. They both have a calling. But one is on his way down fast. That's Saul. The other is on his way up. David. And listen carefully to what I'm going to say. Because you can always tell if you're on the way up or if you're on the way down by what instrument is in your hand. If you're on the way down, you're throwing spears. When you drive home from that place, that meeting, that dinner, as you talk to your wife, you throw spears at that person. When you talk to another, they're by the water cooler at work. You throw spears at your boss or your supervisor. It means you're on the way down. A person who is losing the anointing, a person who is diminishing in ministry, in calling, a person who's on the way down will be throwing spears. He, she might have been king at one time, like Saul was. But Saul is on the way down, and so he throws spears. David is on the way up. He doesn't throw the spear back. David was younger and stronger. David could have easily grabbed that spear and threw it back at Saul. David was more popular than Saul at this point and from here on. David had greater popularity. His name was on the lips of the ladies that were singing songs in the streets. The men in the army followed David, as we read previously. David could have easily said, oh yeah, you demonized old guy. Boom. Take that. But David didn't do it. Saul threw spears once, twice, and we'll see in our next chapter. Don't worry, not tonight. But a third time, Saul reaches for his javelin. Now, on the third occasion, when Saul threw the javelin, David realized, you know what, I'm not going to throw back, but it's time to move on. He was spear it led. He was being, I mean, it was obvious to him. Sometimes that's how the spirit leads. You realize it's just time for me to, I know, got it. But he never threw the spear back, ever. In fact, he just came back and continued to play the harp in Saul's presence. Continued to do the things that Saul asked him to do. Until finally, he could not stay because Saul was so insane with jealousy and he was going down so rapidly that David knew he had to go to get out of the way. And he was chased by Saul, but we're getting ahead of the story. Could I ask you a question tonight? Have you thrown a spear today? Have I said to my wife, Tammy, yeah, but I have a point. This needs to be said. You know. To the extent I do that means that is the extent, the degree that I am on my way down. David had a true anointing. Incredible. This guy, this really happened. I mean, there were spears being thrown at him. And he was not dumb. He ducked. That's always a smart thing to do when spears are thrown at you. But he didn't throw them back. He just didn't do it. He knew that God was his shield, as he would sing. That God was his buckler, his high tower, his defender. Later on in our story, we're going to see that Saul is going into a cave there at En Gedi. Chasing David like a partridge. Little did Saul know that in the back of the cave was David and his boys. And Saul went to sleep. And David's men said, "This is it, David. You got him. Lop his head off. God has brought him into this cave, and here's your opportunity to get ahead," literally. "This is your moment. This is it." And David went over to where Saul was sleeping and he cut the hem off of Saul's garment, off of his skirt. And he would say later on to Saul, "Saul, look, I could have lopped your head off, but I didn't. This is how close I was to you, Saul. Look, I have this piece of your skirt. I have this piece of your robe. Look, Saul, I don't want to kill you. That's not where I'm at." But it says, interestingly enough, that even as he cut the hem of Saul's garment, it says David's heart smote him. And he repented. He said, "I shouldn't have even touched the Lord's anointed." What? The Lord's anointed? David, you're the anointed. This guy is crazy. This guy has lost whatever anointing he once had. This guy is history. David, you're the guy. No. David knew that day, Saul, until God takes him home, God moves him on, he's the anointed instrument in God's hand to prepare me and make me the man that I'm supposed to be. This guy that's after my head, this guy that's chasing me down, this guy that wants to wipe me out, this guy that's out to do me in, this guy that makes my life seemingly miserable, is actually the anointed of God to make me into the man that God wants me to be. What if you looked at your boss that way? The boss that maybe is driving you crazy, or your husband that you don't like, perhaps. Or that parent that just seems to bug you. Or whoever it might be, where you go, man, all they do is throw spears at me. They're out to wipe me out and trip me up and take me down. I'm sick of him. I'm sick of her. I'm sick of them. And if I get the chance, I'm going to lop off their head. What if God would say to you tonight, they're the anointed instrument in my hand, son or daughter, to make you the man or the woman that I want you to be. And when the timing is right, I will remove the situation. But I know when that day is to be. I know when the timing is right. What if we really truly looked at people, difficult people, problem people, challenging situations as being just that? It's the anointed instrument of God. Even though spears are being hurled at me, or these guys are chasing me like a partridge, you see, I am going to believe that, God, you are using this to make me the man that you want me to be, and I will not throw spears back. I don't care what he, she, they do or say. I won't throw spears back. And Lord, if I have touched the garment, forgive me. I'm wrong in that. It's me who's wrong. You're in control. You can move him, her, them. You can take care of that whenever you choose to. And if I have nicked their reputation or thrown a spear in their direction, I'm in error, Lord. I am the one that's wrong. Forgive me, Lord. Honestly, what's in your hand tonight? What's in my hand? What's in our hand? A weapon? An instrument of war or an instrument of worship? Saying, Lord, I trust you. You're on the throne. You're in control. And I will not throw a spear at anyone. David did not retaliate. David avoided it. But he came back, and Saul, verse 12, was afraid of David. Saul knew, oh, how do I deal with a guy like this? The Lord is with him, and the Lord's departed from me, verse 12, Saul would say. So Saul took David and removed him from the court and made him his captain over 1,000 soldiers. Why? To go out and die in battle. I'm going to send this kid out to war. Maybe he'll get taken out by the enemy. But David went out and came in before the people. He would go out and he would come back. Oh no, Saul would say, he's back. Another victory to his credit. Whew. He behaved himself wisely in all of his ways. And the Lord was with David.
David was an incredible guy and a great example for us. Even though he was mistreated and harassed, David behaved wisely and trusted in the Lord. We would be wise to do the same.
This teaching is also available on the Searchlight website at johncorson.com. You will also find on the website Pastor John's books and other Bible study resources. Again, the address of the website is johncorson.com. That's johncorson.com.
The Apostle Paul said that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If you would like to increase your faith and hear more of the Word of God, you may wish to consider Pastor John's complete set of Through the Bible teachings. This set contains over 1,200 teachings from Genesis to Revelation in MP3 audio format. These MP3 formatted teachings can be used with most mobile phones, computers, tablets, or other mobile devices. You may order Pastor John's Through the Bible MP3 audio set from our website at johncorson.com.
Searchlight is a listener-supported ministry. We appreciate your prayers and support. May the Lord richly bless you.